This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. The Israeli Defense Forces attacked and boarded the Free Gaza Movement boat, the Spirit of Humanity, abducting 21 human rights workers from 11 countries, including Nobel laureate Murad Maguire and former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, and seizing humanitarian supplies. But another convoy is waiting to take its place.
Hundreds of people from across the U.S. on the Viva Palestina caravan are setting sail to confront the Israeli pirates by successfully carrying humanitarian aid to the besieged people of Gaza. Viva Palestina. Let's listen to Lamas Deek, co-chair Alda, New York, City Councilman Charles Barron, Father Luis Barrios, Reverend Lucius Walker, and Kevin Ovenden, representative of London MP George Galloway. And let's do that now.
I hope everybody's taking a moment to appreciate just how profoundly historic this moment is for us in the United States. This is really the beginning of the movement of us taking back our rights to free speech on Palestine. For the past 30 years in this country, and I recall growing up where Palestine was a shameful word, and especially for the past 9 years, activity around Palestine, funding to Palestine, humanitarian support to Palestine has been criminalized. And what we are doing is we're normalizing support to Palestine. We're normalizing basic human rights. And we're normalizing not just the rights of the Palestinians, but equally importantly, we're normalizing our right to speak, to support, to change the policies of this government. And this is really critical, and all of this is really owed to people across the world, but in particular to MP Galloway and his fantastic team. Now it's my pleasure and an honor to introduce to you Kevin Ovenden, a really brilliant organizer who thinks how to make this movement really happen, the beginning of this really tremendous movement, hopefully akin to the anti-apartheid movement that we saw in the United States 30 years ago. Thank you, Kevin Ovenden.
I'd like to start by sincerely thanking Reverend Daughtry for opening up not just this space, but opening up his heart to what we've been trying to do over these last 6 weeks. Because you know better than I do that we've come out of 8 very dark, long years, particularly if you had skin of a certain colour and if you were of a certain faith, if you were the Muslim faith in this country. And so from the beginning, to have the solidarity of well-known Christian figures for this movement has enabled us to go further than we thought we might be able to do. All of these individuals and denominations have a history deeply rooted in the civil rights movement. If you look at the spillover from what's happening in Palestine and the wider Middle East, of what's been done to the rights of Muslim people in particular inside the United States, then we are still living to some extent within the vortex of Selma, of Birmingham, of Montgomery, and of Watts, and of Detroit, and of Malcolm, and of Martin. And therefore that's a connection which we in Viva Palestina and the wider Palestine solidarity movement in this country are very pleased to establish. Like all of you, we were reduced to tears of anger and despair and rage in December and January as the bombs fell on the people of Gaza. Many of us, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, took to the street. I know in this city, in the city that I live in London, it was important to demonstrate. speak to people in Gaza and they will tell you that they saw the pictures. You may not have seen them on CNN, but they saw the pictures on Al Jazeera and Press TV and Al Hiwa and all the other networks. They saw people in the United States of America demonstrating, and not just demonstrating, but in polls showing that a majority of people were against the Israeli bombardment of the defenceless civilians of Gaza, and it enabled them to survive those 22 dark days. And of course, we all felt that demonstrating wasn't enough. And it was on a wintry day in London, marching with George Galloway on a demonstration of 100,000 people, again past the Israeli embassy, and George decided that we should do something more. And he just came up with the idea that we should take a convoy of material aid from Britain to Gaza. On February the 14th, we headed off, and we anticipated that we'd have half a dozen vehicles or so, a few brave souls who might make the journey. We left Britain with over 100 vehicles, 255 people, hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of aid, and 23 days later, we were able to cross from Egypt into Gaza, and the whole of Gaza came out to greet that convoy. And we thought that the people of the United States are really not that different from the people of Britain. So George came and did meetings in the US, and it was clear that there was the basis of support for such a venture from the US. And I have to say that the last 6 weeks have been absolutely extraordinary. People from all walks of life, across all the demographics and communities across this country, in cities from San Diego through to New York, from New Jersey to California to Texas, people have come out across the board in support of this cause. And there has been fear, but I think that fear is lifting. People are beginning to feel more confident about what can be done, and that's expressing itself, I think, in a change in US public opinion over this issue, not as far as we would like, not as fast as we would like, but in the direction that we would like. Fundraisers, donations, people collecting from all walks of life to make this thing happen. And so I'm very pleased to tell you, we will leave the United States of America with the single biggest delegation and convoy of aid to Palestine that's ever left these shores, which is a tremendous achievement. Already the first member of our delegation is in Cairo. He travelled earlier. His name is Rabbi Weiss. He's been joined by two other rabbis, demonstrating that this question of Palestine is not a question of religion, it's a question of justice. It's a question of human rights, it's a question of politics, it's about the political exclusion of one people by European colonial powers backing another people. And that's why we have support from Jewish Americans, Muslim Americans, Black Americans, Americans across the board for this project. And not just this project, but we hope for the wider Palestine solidarity movement, which certainly in my country for too long was left in a ghetto. And it's time for us to break out of those ghettos over this question. We are going to go to the Rafah crossing. We are going to go through that crossing on Monday the 13th. And those who might like to stop us have to bear this in mind. Do they want to stand against that we will be handing over wheelchairs and walkers to people who've been left amputated from the bombing in December and January? We'll be handing crayons to children. We'll be taking messages from children in Chicago from a summer school to children in a refugee camp in Khan Yunis. Do they want to stop that? Well, let them try and stop that. That's a public relations battle I'm very, very pleased to fight out on the border between Egypt and Gaza. We've decided, because of the level of interest thus far, that there will be a second convoy from the United States of America. It will most likely join up with a convoy from Britain as an Anglo-American mission. That mission will leave in December, and the aim will be to enter into Gaza on the 27th of December, which will be a year to the day from when this horrific onslaught started, and to spend the new year with the people of Gaza. This isn't about charity, although we're bringing charitable goods to people. This is about helping people determine their own futures, free from fear, free from bombs, and finally able, when you look the children in the eye, 6, 10 years old in Gaza, to live as 6 and 10 year olds, not as 30 and 40 year olds, which is how many of them live now. Thank you very much.
this convoy has really brought people together from all different backgrounds, all different organizations, different political beliefs. And it is my pleasure right now to introduce to you Wa'il al-Musfar from the Arab Muslim American Federation. It's an umbrella of all the Arab Muslim organizations and institutions in New York, representing over 96 organizations. They've also been supporting the community for many decades and have done a great deal of fundraising for the convoy. Thank you, Wa'il.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our American government delivers to our enemy the instruments of death and destruction. But we, the American people, deliver the instruments for life. They deliver the instruments for destruction and despair, and we deliver the instrument of hope. Our people in Gaza has been suffering for years under a choking siege with no food, medicine, and shelter. Our heartless enemy, with the shameful acquiescence of some of our Arab regimes, have been depriving our people in Gaza from all life necessities in an effort to make them surrender. But our people will never bow down, will never surrender, and they grow stronger every single day. Oppression will never last as long as there is resistance, as long as the people are fighting back. The Palestinians are so resilient, and the good people around the world are in total support. And good will always overcome evil. It takes time, it takes great effort, great sacrifice, great cost, but we cannot stop regardless of the price. For God is always with those who struggle in His way. We thank Brother Galloway and all those who have been working tirelessly to make this convoy possible. Even though we cannot be with you physically, we are with you heart and soul. May God ease your way and make this effort and future efforts successful. Thank you very much.
Our next friend, who will share a few words before he leaves to Gaza and joins the people of Gaza, is the only government official, Councilman Charles Barron, on his own, without request from anybody in the Arab, Muslim, or other activist community, organizing press conferences, going to rallies, as he has done for many other causes throughout the numerous years. We owe a great deal of thanks to Councilman Barron for that. He has consistently and without question supported us, supported our civil rights. He's really been the voice of the marginalized and the silenced and the disempowered, and it's all the more important that we empower him in office. And so thank you to Councilman Charles Barron, who will be saying a few words with us tonight. Thank you very much.
Long live Palestine! Long live Palestine! Long live
Palestine!
Free Palestine! Free Palestine! As a black person, we have to fight against suffering anywhere. One baby suffering in Palestine or anywhere else is one of our babies suffering, and we have to unite for that baby worldwide. When they asked me if I were going, and they would fight, they said, "Lord, you know, Councilman, you're into re-election. Are you sure you want to go?" I am not a politician. I'm an elected revolutionary. So for me, it was a logistical question. Can I clear my schedule? And I want to say this. We have to make sure that Cynthia McKinney gets home safely. I called my staff members will be going on this trip as well. Lamont called the White House for us and the State House for us, and it's interesting. He calls up the White House and says, "Councilman Barron wants to launch a complaint against the State of Israel. They got Cynthia McKinney," and they said, "Could you send us more information on that?" Like, you didn't know nothing about this? And then they finally called back, oh, we know about it, we got it. And then we called the State Department, and of course they know about it. But it's interesting how the foreign minister of Ireland called and spoke out against what was happening, and their people are being taken care of. Some of the government officials in Yemen and other places are speaking out. But in the United States, we didn't hear anything from the White House. We didn't hear anything from the State Department. And we should not let them forget that, because they should speak out for their citizens. This is not where you stand on the issue. Where you stand on the issue politically is irrelevant. Children are dying. Innocent women are dying. Innocent men are dying. The only thing matters is that we, the world, should be allowed to bring aid to babies in Gaza, should be allowed to say that the people who have been deformed and just their bodies torn asunder, they should be able to receive aid. What human being can look at what happened in Gaza and want to exacerbate it by blocking any aid from going into that country? That is tantamount to genocide. When you snatch ships in international waters, that's piracy. We charge the Israeli government with piracy. And how dare you, Barack Obama, and you're silent on the Israeli government taking a ship, bringing humanitarian aid to Gaza. That's unacceptable, and we're not going to sit back and let you do that. I don't want my taxpaying dollars going for bombs. I want my taxpaying dollars going for medicine for the people of Gaza. So I'm glad I'm going on this trip, and I'm mad. They better not mess with us over there, because we ain't going over there to play no games. We have no fear in our hearts. We have strong blood. We are warriors. And we are going over there to make a statement. We are warriors. So I'm excited about going. Can't wait to go. Long live! Long live! Long live! Long live Cynthia McKinney! Long live! Long live!
Our friends are strong, numerous, and all over the world. Literally, in the case of Father Luis Barrios, who has been an organizer for Latino causes, Palestinian causes, working class struggles for decades, and he's here with us tonight to support us as we head off to Gaza. Father Luis Barrios was just released after 3 months in prison for marching onto Fort Benning in Georgia to protest. To protest against the School of the Americas. And for those of you who don't know, the School of the Americas, when it was first founded, their training was initiated and supported very much so by the Israeli occupation forces that are currently occupying Palestine. So our struggles are not only united by our friends, but in practical ways. The Zionist government travels across the world, furthering oppression, and the School of the Americas was one of those places. So thank you, Father Luis Barrios, if you would join us on the stage.
It's a real pleasure to be here. This is part of our agenda. And when I say part of our agenda is a justice agenda. We believe that there's not going to be peace without justice. One of the things when I was listening to all the speeches here tonight, especially when you go back into the Torah, into the Quran, into the Bible, into any sacred book that includes Oromare, the African tradition, or into any book that was written by people who do not believe in God, there's always possible to make miracles. And in order to make miracles, you go into those who believe in God, those who do not believe in God, and there is always a common denominator. And the common denominator is you always need someone who is willing to do something. If not, you're not going to see the miracle. And probably that's the reason why we can't see the miracle. that we can stop the Israel government from doing all these atrocities that they're doing to the Palestine people and all the peoples around the world. I think it's necessary, I think it's possible, and I'm going to get out of here tonight with this belief, this strong belief, that it's possible to stop the Israel government. If we want to do it, we're going to do it. God bless.
We are eternally grateful to Pastors for Peace, and especially Reverend Lucius Walker, who has done what would have otherwise been tremendously dangerous for an Arab or a Muslim organization to do, and that is to allow their sponsorship to be used to raise funds only and only because of the help of Father Reverend Walker. And we'd love to hear from the Reverend himself, and again, our deepest thank you, Reverend. And for all many causes that he supported.
I'm honored to be here. We could not avoid being a part of this historic effort to give the people of the United States an opportunity to visibly demonstrate their opposition to our government's policy, our government's callousness, and our government's complicity with Israel's effort to destroy the hopes and the aspirations of the Palestinian people. And so we have been honored to be able to receive funds on behalf of this effort that we are here as a part of. I think we have to keep coming together. In opposition to the injustice, the callousness, and in support of the aspirations for hope and freedom of our sisters and brothers in all parts of the world. I believe it was Charles Barron said that last December and January, when we saw the vicious, wanton destruction of not just life and people, but of all of the efforts that they had collectively put together with support from around the world to build on that very sparse land schools, hospitals, nurseries, places to protect and care for the elderly, bombed, now in rubble. And the silence of the U.S. in the face of that was loud, and it was nerve-wracking. I want to give a shout-out, a word of praise and appreciation to George Galloway, to all of those who worked with him, for having the vision and the courage and the energy and the determination to not allow the people of the United States to continue to be silent or to be intimidated in the face of the destruction of hope, the murder, the taking away of the lives and the hopes of the young and the old civilians wantonly. And thanks to all of you for being here tonight, for being a part of this historic effort. It is so important that we find ways to creatively resist injustice, to stand up and to act out against injustice. History will record that those of us, and especially those of you who are able to go on this historic caravan, paved a new pathway, opened a new possibility for peace and hope for the people of Palestine. And we want to thank all of you. We think that to be a part of this is to be a part of the right side of history. It's to stand up and speak out so that we can look at ourselves in the mirror with honor and dignity. And so that we can say to our children, we were a part of an effort to build a better world. Fidel was right, is right. A better world is possible. But that better world is not possible if we do not take bold and courageous and determined action. We thank you for taking that action. And to all of you who are going on this caravan, know that you're not just taking medicines, crayons, educational supplies, wheelchairs. You may take tons of those items, but you are taking hundreds of tons of love and hope and peace and justice to the people of Palestine. You're not just taking the vehicles that are going to go through that Rafah border, but you are taking wings of hope and peace for the people of Palestine to know in Gaza that they are not alone, that they have friends who are willing to stand with them. So we say to all of you, go in peace. And we say to all the rest of us, especially I'm speaking to myself, I can't go on this caravan. There will be a caravan in December, did I hear? We'll be with you in December.
We sure will. And that was Reverend Lucius Walker, and we were also listening to Father Luis Barrios, La Mystique, co-chair of Al Auda, New York, and Charles Barron on their way, at least some of them, to deliver humanitarian aid with the Viva Palestinian Caravan. And this one had better get through because we're not going to stop sending them. We're going to break that blockade, that stranglehold on the people of Gaza. Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our new website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.